Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what monument, formally unveiled in April 1948, faces the entrance to the new Museum of the History of Polish Jews in Warsaw? The Museum of the History of Polish Jews in Warsaw is a cultural and educational center that for over a year has organized a rich cultural program, including temporary exhibitions, films, debates, workshops, performances, concerts, lectures, and much more. The museum was formally founded in 2005 by the Association of the Jewish Historical Institute of Poland, the City of Warsaw, and the Polish Ministry of Culture and National Heritage. The initiative spans many fields of research, drawing on the expertise of scholars and museum professionals from around the world. They also work with the community at large to create a vibrant place of exchange and dialogue where all have the opportunity to express their views, ask questions, and grow. The museum stands in what was once the heart of Jewish Warsaw, an area which the Nazis turned into the Warsaw Ghetto during World War II. The design by the Finnish studio La Delma and Malamaki was selected in an international competition. In 2008, with the building still under construction, it received the prestigious Chicago Athenaeum International Architecture Award. The official opening of the core exhibition will take place next week on October 28th. This exhibition will immerse visitors in the world of Polish Jews from their arrival in Poland as traveling merchants in medieval times until today. The exhibition is being produced by the Association of the Jewish Historical Institute of Poland, thanks to the support of donors from all over the world. Each of the 8 galleries will present a different chapter in the story of Polish Jews, enabling visitors to get to know those who lived that story through images, artifacts, first-person accounts, and interactive multimedia. Tamara Stima, the museum's curator of exhibitions, and Grzegorz Tomczewski, its media relations specialist, spoke with us about the museum, its activities, and the upcoming opening of the core exhibition. Thank you both very much for speaking with us today. Could you tell us first a little bit about the background of the Museum of the History of Polish Jews, when and how the idea got started and whose idea it was?
Well, so the idea for the museum was born in the early 90s of the last century. In the milieu of people connected to the Jewish Historical Institute in Warsaw. It was the only institution which over the post-war decades was preserving and researching Jewish history. The Jewish Historical Institute was established just after the war and with the task of documenting the Holocaust, but also researching other chapters of Jewish history. And what's important, the institute was also the continuation of the pre-war Institute for Judaistic Studies, which existed in the same place. Yes, there was a great library and the scientific institute. So in the early 90s, with the change of general political climate in Poland, when the topic of Polish-Jewish relations, of history of Polish Jews became the point of interest and people started to talk about it again, the people from the Jewish Historical Institute started to think about doing something with these great resources they had and with this memory they were carrying. And they thought about creating a museum. The main inspiration for this idea was opening of the Holocaust Museum, United States Holocaust Museum in Washington, which took place in April 1993. And Grażyna Pawlak from the Jewish Historical Institute, who was then vice director of the Jewish Historical Institute, was invited to the ceremony of the opening of the Holocaust Museum in Washington. And she was really thrilled by this new modern institution. The museum was made under the leadership of Yehoshua Weinberg, who was at that time one of the main persons creating new narrative historical museums. Before doing the Holocaust Museum in Washington, he also was the director of the Diaspora Museum in Tel Aviv, Bet Hatfutzot. So she was really inspired by this modern narrative museum telling the whole story, and thought that probably we should do something in Poland, but we should write another chapter of this history. So the museum in Washington was showing the story of Holocaust, and she realized that here in Poland we need to show the story of what was before, what was destroyed in the Holocaust, so that we should tell the story of the 1,000 years of Polish Jews.
So tell us about the building. How did you choose the architect? And describe the building a little bit for our listeners, because this isn't television, you know, we have to use words.
In 2005, when the project of the museum was really advanced, and when the Polish government and the city of Warsaw declared their participants in the project, the competition for the architectonical project was organized, and it was meant to be international competition. And 11 finalists were chosen, and the winner was Rainer Malamäki, architect from Finland. Yeah. So the main challenge for the architect was to design a building that would correspond with the neighborhood, with the place in which the museum is built, because the museum is erected on the site of the former Warsaw Ghetto. And before the war, it was the vivid Jewish district of Warsaw. After the war, the communist blocks were built in the surroundings, on the ruins of the ghetto. So this is a very special place. And in this place, the monument of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising was raised in the late 40s. And on the square, next to the monument, the museum is built. So the task for the challenge for the designer was to fit in the mood, to make a building that will correspond with the surrounding and with the monument. So what Malamäki did, he designed a building which from the outside has a very simple form, not to interfere with the surrounding. It has a form of the square block, which to some extent repeats the block form of the monument. So it's like a dialogue of the building and of the monument of the ghetto uprising. So this modern, modest form of the building from the outside contrasts with the very expressive and full of emotions interior. And the main charisma of the building, its main feature, is the dramatic tear which breaks this building. And it's a huge hole built by the curved walls, and it opens the museum to the monument and on the other side to the park, which is behind the building. And the main idea of this dramatic hall, it may have many different interpretations. As the architect said, to some extent it may refer to the passage of Jews in the ancient times, when the Jews were escaping from Egypt, the waters of the Red Sea torn apart, and they could pass. So this hall in the museum is about passage. It may be about passage, passing from the past to the future.
When was the building started and when was it finished?
The competition took place in 2005, and the act of the cornerstone of the museum was put in 2007, but then the official process of building was begun in 2009. And the museum was open, the building was given to the museum, and we moved in here in April 2013.
So, which was a very symbolic date.
So the program activities of the Museum of History of Polish Jews started exactly at the date of the 70th anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, on the 19th April 2013. And through first year of program activity, we had 300,000 guests and visitors, so we are really proud of the exact number, because the official opening is held on 28th of October this year, 2014, and it will be the opening of the core exhibition.
Yeah, so the core exhibition isn't open yet, which means that in the past year, what you have had is temporary exhibits and other activities. Can you tell us first about the temporary exhibits that you've had so far?
So far we had three contemporary exhibitions, and the fourth one is going to be opened next week. So the first exhibition was audiovisual installation by Hungarian artist Peter Forgács. We showed the films from the interwar period made by the Jews from America who were coming to visit their hometowns in Poland in the 20s and 30s. And of course it was artistic travestation of those films by contemporary artists. The second exhibition was devoted to the gifts donated to the museum, because our museum is the museum which was started as a museum without any collection. But soon it appeared that the museum cannot exist without any collection, even though that we are saying that modern narrative museums don't need to have collection, but collection is really the heart of the museum. So we announced the program of collecting memorabilia, and over several years a lot of precious objects were given to us. So our second temporary exhibition was devoted to the people who donated the objects to the museum, and through those objects it was telling little stories of people. And our third exhibition was also very important, because it was exhibition about Jewish Warsaw. So this program, it was kind of a very special program prepared for the opening before the core exhibition is shown to the public. So we couldn't deal with historical topics, because we are keeping this for the core exhibition, but it was like introduction to what our museum will be. And in July we opened the exhibition devoted to the title is The Pole Jew and Legionist. And this exhibition is organized because of the 100th anniversary of the First World War, and in many museums in Europe exhibitions devoted to this topic are going to take place, and we wanted to show the participants of Jews in the struggle for independent Poland. And now, on the opening of the great opening of the museum and the core exhibition, we are also preparing a smaller temporary exhibition, which is going to be like an event supporting this moment. And this exhibition is devoted to the history of the making of our museum. And the title is How to Make a Museum.
Can you speak a little bit about the workshops that you've had?
Yeah, sure. So except our museum issue, so temporary exhibition and the core exhibition, which will be recently open, we have two huge departments, educational department and cultural department, which deal with several topics, not only Jewish topics, but also some cultural topics and some topics connected to especially education. So we provide education connecting to multiculturalism, to dialogue, to tolerance. We have some workshops about hate speech, and we have some workshops connected straight to a Jewish theme, so some alphabet, Hebrew and Yiddish alphabet. We have some workshops about Jewish holidays, and so. So the most important for us is the educational field of our museum, because we found that because of these workshops and the debates, lectures and many events here to educate, to try to teach people about this huge culture and history of Jews, which were with us over 1,000 years of Polish history.
I'm particularly interested in the educational aspect. I was wondering, do you work with, let's say, the public school system? Do you have school groups that come here?
Every day, three or four classes of children from various level of education, from primary school up to high school, and also we provide education for adults. And we also have some education activities with schools which are by hospitals in Warsaw area. In June we start huge project Museum on Wheels, and we spread our education through all of the Poland. It is a project which we will educate the local communities about their own history until 2016.
I'm sure you know that there is a big project in Europe now to develop Holocaust education projects for the schools in all the different countries. I was wondering if you're involved in that at all. In other words, projects for teachers of how to teach the Holocaust in their schools.
We provide huge educational workshops for educators from US and also they treat the Holocaust theme, but not only. It was called Past Poland Summer School Academy, and the next edition will be in 1 year, so we are also educating educators, in a sense, how they should educate the children, people, adults, school children, high school children.
Well, you must be very excited because the permanent exhibit is about to open. Can you tell us something about the core exhibit?
The core exhibition, it's a huge project, and it's constructed of seven historical galleries. It covers the 1,000 years of the history of Jews in Polish land. It starts with middle century. Actually, it starts with some symbolical space. We call it the forest, and it's devoted to the myths and legends about coming of Jews to Poland. It's like introduction to the history. So from the realm of myth, we enter the realm of history. And we enter the Middle Ages gallery, then we have 16th century gallery, which shows the golden age of Jews in Poland. Then through the wars of 17th century, we get to the gallery of which is called Miasteczko in Polish, or the Stadt, it can be said. And it's the gallery of the 17th and 18th century, when we reconstruct the synagogue. It's like the main object in this gallery is the reconstruction of the 17th century wooden roof of the synagogue in Gwoździec with the paintings. And under this roof, we tell the story of 17th and 18th century Judaism. We also show the symbolic church when we show the relations between church and Jews, and we also show the marketplace and the tavern, and we deal with social and economical relations between Jews and Poles.
This is a real town that existed, that exists. Like, how did you choose this town?
In the core exhibition, we never literally reconstruct spaces. But each gallery is set in some symbolical space or few spaces. But it's never very literal. It's always symbolical reference. Yes, it's just the setting. So moving from Miasteczko, we get to the 19th century gallery, which is composed of many different spaces, among them railway station, yes, and yeshiva. And then we get to the interwar gallery, which main point is the reconstruction of the pre-war street. And then we enter the Holocaust gallery and the post-war, because our story doesn't end. We show that the story still lasts. So the last gallery is the post-war gallery, and it tells also about it what's happening today.
This is a very big project. How many people have been involved in it, and where are they from?
You mean in the like in the project of designing of the core exhibition? It was like I may honestly say that thousands of people were involved. Actually, the project it really, since the exhibition is really really huge and very detailed, it took more than 10 years to design it, and the first works were started in 2000. By the company from London, Event Communication, and they were main designers of the core exhibition till 2011. And in 2011, the company from Warsaw took the project, Nizio Design International, and the companies were working with the team of academics and curators from the museum, and the team was under the leadership of Professor Barbara Kirschenblatt-Gimblett from New York, who is an expert in museums, and she devoted, I think, 8 years on working on this project day and night. So the project was developed by the London company Event Communication. They started to work on it in 2000, and they specialize in creating multimedia narrative exhibitions. And in 2011, the responsibility for the project was taken by Nizio Design International, a company from Warsaw. And what they did was finalizing the design, creating the graphic design, and producing the exhibition. And producing of the exhibition was a real challenge, because there is thousands and thousands of different elements and beautiful exhibition furniture and a lot of huge printouts and a lot of multimedia, and it's really thrilling, I think.
You mentioned memorabilia and you mentioned items that people have donated. What sort of things have people donated, and where are these people from? Who are they?
So we are getting objects from people from Warsaw, from different towns and cities in whole country. And sometimes those objects belong to the family, so they are kind of family heritage. But very often these are objects found by the Poles, which are remains of their Jewish neighbors. Each of these objects carries a story, and this is most important for us, because also what is special for our museum and for our core exhibition, that we base the narration on the individual stories, micro histories. And that's why those objects donated by private people, which carry individual stories of people who to whom they belonged, or of people to whom they passed, they are of great value for us.
Finally, I would like to talk about the databases that you have in the museum. I know you have three databases that are very interesting.
So it started already, you know, before the building was built, because the making of this museum was a real process, and the museum started its activity several years before the building was ready and the core exhibition designed. And the idea was to reach as many people as possible, and to, you know, to communicate the mission of the museum already, and to prepare people for this museum in the future. So one of the ideas was to create the internet portal Virtual Shtetl. The portal was started in 2009, and the idea was that it's kind of modeled on Wikipedia and social networks. It combines those two models, and it's like, so people from all over Poland, from different towns and cities, who are interested in local Jewish history, and they are not Jewish themselves usually, they edit this portal, and they write they provide information about the Jewish history in their hometowns, and also about the current events connected to Jewish culture.
And so people can look up their ancestors' towns, yeah, and find them on this webpage.
Yeah, find the information, but what's important, those informations were prepared by the local people from the towns, and so they are part of also researching of local history by the people who live there. And the second portal started approximately in the same time, was a portal devoted to the races among the nations. And the idea was to collect the stories of the races who are still alive, so to interview them and to put them on the website. And
how many righteous among nations are there in Poland? Does anybody know?
6,000. 6,000 righteous among the nations.
And also what was special about this portal was that the interviews were made by the young volunteers from the museum, who work for the museum. So it was also this idea of bridging, of connecting new generation to the old generation. Yes, and again, it's this focus on the private micro histories, which is so important. It's called oral history. In general, these oral history projects are very useful for museums like ours.
And based on these interviews, our department responsible for the oral history create an exhibition about Polish writers, which can be present everywhere in the world. It is made on cooperation with Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So it's made for a foreign audience.
And the third database?
The third database is CBJ, Central Base of Judaica. And this is the this is our main museum database in which you can search the Judaica from our collection, but also from the collections of other museums and institutions in Poland, which gave us licenses for showing them in our database, because we think that our museum is the when people are doing research, they normally first would go to the Museum of the History of Jews in Warsaw so we want to be the center, yes, for providing such information.
So if anybody who's listening is interested in more information, I will include links to mm-hmm. your webpage and to your databases, because I think that's very, very important. Is there anything else that you can think of that we might have left out?
A little bit more about the database, because we have the central base of Judaica, but actually this project of gathering documentation was started together with starting works on the core exhibition, because the idea in order to design the exhibition and to tell the story, we needed to gather documentation and to investigate what is preserved in Poland. So it was started with creating our local database, and the work on those databases were started at the end of the 90s. And the letters were sent to archives, libraries and museums from all over Poland asking about Jewish objects in the collections of those institutions. And some of the institutions did answer, some didn't, but to those who answered, the museum was sending their cooperators who were documenting the objects preserved, and in this way we created database, which was first our internal database, but very useful for working on the design of the core exhibition. And now Central Base of Judaica is more official database. We have agreements of cooperation with different institutions which want their object to be presented in this database as well.
Just finally, one more thing. You said that there were 300,000 visitors in the first year, which is a lot of visitors. Do you have any information as to where they're from, how many of them are actually Polish, and is there a big interest in Poland in Jewish history and Jewish culture?
After 1989, it's starting developing and rehabilitating of Jewish life in Poland, and now I think it's like 8,000 Jews in Poland, not only in communist but for all of the Poland. And so we start rebuilding the Jewish life after the huge period of vacuum of Jewish presence, or it was Jewish absence. But still, as we presented the core exhibition and the post-war gallery, we presented quite a few Jews still stay in Poland, except of course thousands who emigrate from different reasons after the Second World War. And I think now it's a kind of time for Poland and for Jews in Poland and for Polish people to start thinking and start recreating the Jewish life. And our museum, it's one of our mission that we itself the building, and that's what we did here, what just happened here. It's a kind of creating the bridge between the past and future.
Has there been interest among Polish people? Have you noticed Polish people interested in this kind of thing? Have you gotten requests for information, or are a lot of your visitors Polish, or you don't know?
Of course, I think this interest is growing in the recent years, and in to a large extent due to such institutions as our museum.
If you compare the numbers of our guests and visitors through just 1 year of program activity, I think for sure foreign audience, but also Polish audience, is like daily here during various of events, concerts, lectures, debates, theater performances and of course educational workshops and activities. So I think the level of interest is raised right now.
We already talked about our educational activities. So the children from schools in Warsaw come here every day.
When you ask me about the interest, I will compare the huge popularity of our recent project Museum on Wheels, which travel across Poland, and it's really popular and really important for deaf people in local communities that we send our mobile educational exhibition to them. And we try to restore, recreate, or rethink even, just rethink about Jewish presence in their local communities.
Thank you very much. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner @RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.